You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Coming up, our guest talks about invasive zebra mussels in the Great Lakes and our state's strategy to contain them over the past quarter decade.
But first, the number of cases of Alzheimer's and dementia are growing both nationwide and in Wisconsin. It's a pressing concern, such that the State Assembly put together a task force in order to examine what impact these cases could have on the state.
Issues range from a shortage of caregivers to what steps should be taken to improve health care for people suffering from these degenerative diseases. That task force released their final report this week.
Representative Mike Rohrkast joins us now. He's the chair of the Speaker's Task Force on Alzheimer's and Dementia and a Republican representing Wisconsin's 55th Assembly District. Representative Rohrkast, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. Appreciate having me on.
The Speaker's Task Force on Alzheimer's and Dementia was created last August, almost a year ago. What were your goals setting out?
Really, we wanted to learn as much as we could about the issues affecting the residents of Wisconsin, and not just patients, but also the caregivers. The disease affects over 100,000 residents, and probably 4 to 5 times that many are either formal or informal caregivers. So we really wanted to see how we could improve care and services to those individuals.
So you gathered a lot of information. You held public hearings. What did you hear from people?
We heard some consistent themes, and one of them was that we needed to improve in two areas. One was to provide greater respite care services. Again, the informal caregivers, that's usually family members. It's very challenging to care for somebody who has dementia, and the stress and the time that it takes. The respite care program or respite care assistance, we found out that worked really well, and we needed to expand it. And then the second area that we heard loud and clear is we need to have more resources to help families that may be dealing in more of a crisis situation with somebody who has dementia. And what I mean by crisis, maybe some very challenging behavioral issues.
And I know some legislation has already come out of this task force. Tell us what's been accomplished on the legislative side of things.
Well, positively, a couple of those areas, we did pass bills. We added $1 million to the existing respite care program. We expanded the scope of who would be eligible for that respite care, and that actually almost doubled in the size of the funding for that. So it was a significant increase. We also created a pilot for these mobile crisis units that help families deal with crisis situations with somebody, and we increased funding for training grants for counties to train their mental health services crisis teams on how they could also be better able to handle crisis situations with patients with Alzheimer's, which is the leading form of dementia.
What does the outlook look like for dementia and Alzheimer's in Wisconsin? Is this something that's on the uptick?
It is. It's continuing to grow for a couple of reasons. One is that you have a large population, the baby boomers, who are all getting older and ages where it does start to show up more. It affects people who are older. And the other is that we are living longer as well. So you have those two factors that are going to increase the number. It's the sixth leading cause of death in the state of Wisconsin, and I believe it's the only one in the top 10 that continues to increase. And so the numbers of over 110,000, 115,000 right now could more than double in the next 10 to 15 years.
Now, you mentioned the large numbers of caregivers needed. A lot of them right now are informal caregivers who are in need of respite care. What sorts of forms does that respite care take, and what needs do you still see out there?
Well, the respite care is, it could be a number of, it could provide really daytime care services or in-home care where somebody would come into a person's home and take care of that person who has Alzheimer's. And then the informal or the family caregiver could take that time to go run errands or even just to take a break. Caregivers are very susceptible to actually some additional health problems, whether it's high blood pressure, cardiovascular issues, stress, depression, again, because of the intensity of sometimes or the time involved. And so the respite care really gives them a time that maybe they can help take care of themselves, go to doctor appointments, et cetera. And so that's one area that I think we need to continue to work on to make sure that, and that helps the person actually keep them in their home longer that has dementia as well, which is better for the patient as long as everybody's safe and as long as everybody has the right care.
And I know you must have talked to many families who are personally experiencing this. So what did you hear from families about how it can affect the whole family on physical, mental, economic ways?
Well, one of the key things that we learned from one of the task forces was from a lady who had early onset, and this was over in the Eau Claire area. And she talked about how she let her network of friends know that she had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and she was very surprised to find out that her network, in many respects, shunned her. And much like mental health issues, there's a stigma, and an unnecessary stigma, I believe. Well, I know that as a fact, that it's an unnecessary stigma, but it exists. But it exists with Alzheimer's. And we really, by working on these bills and doing what we did to improve the awareness, Alzheimer's is a disease just like many other diseases, and we have to learn to deal with that in a better way, a more positive way.
We're speaking right now with Representative Mike Rohrkast, who represents Wisconsin's 55th Assembly District. He's the chair of the Speaker's Task Force on Alzheimer's and Dementia, and we're talking about what's happened in the almost year since that task force began. And I know that as chairperson of the task force, you have recommendations for what you'd like to see going forward. What do you recommend that Wisconsin needs to look at more closely?
There's a couple areas. One is we need to continue to promote the good programs that Department of Health Services has been doing. For example, the Music in Memory program, Memory Cafes, the Employers Portal that helps workforces who may have family members to get to the resources that exist in the state services. So that's one area. We need to continue to promote that and educate the residents of Wisconsin that these are available when they are faced with this. Probably the biggest area, though, is there is a shortage of really all healthcare workers, but in particular caregivers from in-home care workers to CNAs to nurses, and we need to get more people into the healthcare field, particularly to deal with the elderly, and in particular to help deal with those that may be in assisted living or nursing homes that are suffering from some form of dementia. One of the main ones.
How do we get more of those people interested in working in this field?
Well, I think there's two areas. One is there's a longer term fix, I believe, is we need to, there's some great models in the high schools, public high schools right now. There's actually a couple of public charter high schools that are focused in the healthcare field to get high school students interested in going into the healthcare, again, all the way from CNAs to MDs. There's also very strong training partnerships between the technical colleges and high schools in terms of our CNA training, nursing training, and if we can promote more of that in the high schools, that should, it will definitely help get more of our youth interested to see that there's great opportunities for health care. There's also, I think we need to work in terms of the pay level for CNAs is not always the best, and I think there's some opportunities for us to look at. Hopefully we can improve that over time, working with the nursing homes and the assisted living organizations on providing maybe better ways for them to ensure they're getting reimbursed, whether it's for Medicaid, Medicare, properly, and then hopefully that can translate into attracting more people into those fields. So there's a couple opportunities for us to work on, I believe.
Now, looking at high school students, obviously there's a learning lag there. We're not going to get those people into jobs right away. They have to get
Correct.
Education. So in the meantime, you mentioned this crunch that we are in. Are we in crisis mode when it comes to caregivers for these people, or are we headed there?
Well, I think we're close. I mean, I'm actually thinking of holding public hearing on the shortage of healthcare workers here before we would get to the next session to hopefully get some groundwork laid and get some ideas from not only the healthcare community, but from the organizations like the assisted living and the nursing homes to give us some of their suggestions on how we can get more workers in the short term. That's a very good point. If we're not at crisis, we're very close to that, or definitely we'll get there because the numbers continue to increase.
Now, as we wrap up, you mentioned, you told us a story about a woman who was sort of ostracized by her community for telling her friends that she had Alzheimer's, and education is one of the focal points you want to lead us toward. What do we need to know to create a state and communities that are accepting and compassionate to people with Alzheimer's?
Well, there's actually a great program that DHS has, and that's what they call dementia-friendly cities or dementia-friendly communities. And it's a program that provides training to local businesses, to local government organizations on how to basically provide better customer service or care and to educate the public and communities about what various forms of dementia or what it just means to become older. Dementia is a much more severe form of memory loss. I mean, everybody may lose a little bit of their memory. Dementia takes it much, much further and causes other physiological and behavioral changes over time as the disease progresses. However, though, in the early stages, I mean, it's really good to keep these individuals, these people involved in their communities, going out, being part of whatever lives that they had before they might have been diagnosed. So by becoming a dementia-friendly community or city, the area is much more supportive of families, and a family or a caregiver would be much more willing and able to take a loved one who has dementia to a restaurant or out to a store. And just that kind of contact and that education to the community that their quality of life still can be really good in the time that they have is really worth working for.
Representative Rorkash, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Appreciate having me on.
Mike Rorkash is a Republican representing Wisconsin's 55th Assembly District. He's also the chair of the Speaker's Task Force on Alzheimer's and Dementia. The task force released their final report on how to address the growing number of Alzheimer's and dementia cases in the state.